Now, when we are talking about Jaipur, it is the name that is considered, it is on Sawai Jai Singh Maharaja. He was very famous for his love for astronomy. So, a great warrior and astronomer, he has built this beautiful city of Jaipur. Now, one of the there are many sites which Jaipur has to offer. It is not only the palaces and the four forts that it has. It has other than that the temples, and there is also Jantar Mantar, that is again the astronomical equipments that are made of stone, built by Maharaja Jai Singh. Further ahead, there is Hawa Mahal, which Jaipur has to offer. Apart from all these attractions, one of the major attractions would be the magnificent city palace, Jaipur Palace, that is there. It's a huge complex of many courtyards, many small small gardens, which are having lots of chhatris, then lots of fountains. It is a blend of Rajasthani and Mughal architecture. So what happens is you can see the domes, which are the classic example of Mughal architecture, and you can see the chhatris and the beautiful jali work which is embedded together. So Rajasthani and Mughal architecture is combined here. Now one of the magnificent things which you can see is definitely a guided tourism must when you are talking about these particular palaces. There are many different interiors to this particular palace that it has. Apart from that, there are four gates which are designed on the theme of four seasons. One of the most famous ones would be the Peacock Gate, which has three beautifully decorated peacocks. It is worth a watch here. Then we have different courtyards or different palace areas which have early days which had specific uses. So when you go on a guided tour, this particular palace, there are many things that the guided tour can offer. So it also is said to be the place wherein you go and you can actually feel the culture, the Rajasthani culture that is there. It is equipped with very good hotels. There are many hotels which give you the heritage feel to them. So that's about Jaipur. The next city that we have is Udaipur. Now, it is often called most romantic city in India because of the famed lakes and palaces. It also houses one of the palace which is on the belt on the lake. Again, it has a city palace which is there. The museum inside is having all the exhibits. There is Sheesh Mahal, and there are many other things which come in the interior of this particular palace. So what happens is when you start searching of the images, you can see this beautiful architecture and how the royalty of the early times used to live. So again, Udaipur is equipped with gardens. There are temples over here. There are a fort which is also there. So if you can see, this is the city palace Jaipur. These are the different structures. There are Diwane Khas, Diwane Aam that are there. There are certain places which are famous, like the big silver urn which is placed. Then there is chandeliers which are famous. This is the peacock door that you can see, beautifully decorated in the night, that city palace Udaipur, nearer to the water body. So different palaces and forts and temples that Jaipur and Udaipur has to offer. Next is the Jaisalmer city of Rajasthan. So it is said to be the yellow city because it is a desert city. Jaisalmer, the main attraction of the tourist is how a desert camping can be. So what attracts a tourist, one of the things that is promoted for Jaisalmer is the desert surfing. Then it is camping in the desert. So you are given the tents, and that is how the package for Jaisalmer is given. So it was founded by Rao Jaisal. Heart of the desert is surrounded by sand dunes, has an imposing and impregnable sand colored forts and palaces. Now it has a fort here, Jaisalmer Fort, which because of the entire desert looking area is also known to be the golden fort or the yellow fort. So that is what Jaisalmer offers. So apart from that, the Jaisalmer has many other things that it has to offer. Again, the guided tours here are important. There are, like I said earlier, there are sand, which sand packages or desert packages which are given. Then there are camel rides, which are given here. There are desert festivals which are held here. So all these festivals are a part of the tourism projects that are being started. Not only it attracts the tourist, but it also makes sure that the culture is sustained over here. Next, what Jaisalmer gives is there is a desert national park near to Jaisalmer that can also be visited. The next city is the Kota, which is again an ancient city, is full of palaces and forts. It has havelis to offer. Now Kota is also an industrial place, so the modern and the ancient, both the cities have combined together to give a very good place for visit. At the edge of the Thar Desert is the city of Jodhpur. Now when we are talking about Jodhpur, there is a massive Mehrgarh fort that one cannot miss. So when a visit to Jodhpur would be there, first is the, this is the fort that has to be viewed. Apart from that, there are many other chhatris which are created for the ancient, which are created for the rulers which were here. Then there are temples, palaces and havelis, which the Jodhpur is famous for. So when we are talking about the entire tourist itinerary, Jodhpur, Jaisalmer are both done together. The next what we have is Mount Abu, that is the hill station, what we can say is the oasis for Rajasthan. It is it has great views. Apart from that, it has that it has the climate that acts its major what I should say USB to attract the tourist. It has Dilwara temples, the Jain Dilwara temples, which are beautiful in their architecture, the Jain architecture. There are, if you can actually view the images of Dilwara Jain temples, there is the interiors of it, the architecture which is there, intricately carved. And you can see how well they are preserved. So those are Dilwara Jain temples that we have at Mount Abu. Further ahead, we also have Nakhi Lake. That's a lake here. There are boatings which are taken place at Mount Abu. Apart from the Jain religious site, there is one more religious site, that is the Dattatreya temple at the Dutt Shikhar, which is here at Mount Abu. So that also attracts people. Now what we have is the Sariska Bagh, or the Sariska, the Royal Preserve of Alwar, which became a sanctuary in the year 1958. Later it became a Project Tiger in 1979, and now it is a national park, which is 1982. So this is the Sariska National Park, which attracts the tourists. There are safaris here as well. Next what we have is the Sawai Madhopur. It is important because it is the gateway city from where one can go to the Ranthambore National Park to view the wildlife in here. So both of these national parks attracts the wildlife adventure tourist that they have to offer. So Rajasthan as a whole of the state has lots of things to offer. The main thing would be the culture. Apart from that, the forts, the palaces and various other things. It also adds to the effect that there are many palaces and forts which are actually which are converted into hotels so as to give the accommodation. So the next slide that we have is of the pictures that we have. Jaisalmer Fort, which is lighted here, you can see the massiveness of it. Mehrangarh Fort at Jodhpur on a hillock, and again the height that we can see. Mount Abu, that's the Lake Nakhi view. These are the scenic beauty over there which can be seen. And we have the Dilwara temple again at Mount Abu. The interiors, the beautiful columns. You can see the ceiling, which is well known. There are idols which are here, which are all around the ceiling, which are a part of the major thing that is there to see. Next state that we have to talk about is Sikkim. It is again on the northeastern part of India. Sikkim is a marvelous place for meditation. Almost 200 monasteries dot the divine hilltops. Now, its strategic position has made sure that there is a cultural impact of Tibet and China on Sikkim. So, definitely there are many, many monasteries. Apart from that, Sikkim is also known as a gateway state to many expeditions or treks towards Himalaya. So, Gangtok, the capital city, is one. which attracts. There are many sites, there are many views which there are. So at Gangtown, you can see it's a picturesque town with a fusion of traditional customs and modern living. So when we are talking about Sikkim, we are talking about more of the scenic beauty. We are talking about more of the Sikkim culture that it has, the monasteries that it has. So definitely Sikkim comes on a traveler's map when the traveler is a trekker or a mountaineer or a person who is on a Buddhist pilgrimage. So these, this is something which gives you. Apart from that, there are also some temples in and around in the state. So Sikkim is a trekker's paradise. A trek from Yaksum to Dzungri Peak, and further on to Goicha Peak is the most popular trek in Sikkim. So due to this, there are many people who are involved in the trekking field. That is, they act as guides to these trekking expeditions. So that's Sikkim. It is also known for many varieties of birds, animals and flowers. The best places which are there is the Devrali Orchid Park and the Kyongnosia Alpine Sanctuary. River rafting on the Tista River. Now, if you actually search for the images of Sikkim, or the tourist attractions for Sikkim, you can view there are many, many monasteries. Sikkim has also been one of the scenes, that is the state which is famous for its picturesqueness. So what happens is it has been used in many of the films as well. Here, when we are talking about Tista River, the flow of the river and the way it flows have given way to river rafting groups here. So that is one of the tourist activity that one can do when in Sikkim, apart from the trekkers. So ideally, when we are talking about Sikkim as a traveler's delight, there are the mountain, raw beauty of the mountain. So most of the times it is the adventurers or the young crowd which might go for Sikkim as such. It is also the climate of the state that attracts. Now when we talk about the next state, that's Tamil Nadu. We can see that Tamil Nadu is now, considering what it has to offer, are the temple architecture that Tamil Nadu has. Apart from that, it is the natural beauty that Tamil Nadu has to offer. So the gateway would be towards Tamil Nadu, the main city, Chennai, the capital city of Tamil Nadu. It is known as the gateway to South India. Its main attractions would be definitely the beaches, the temples, museums, galleries, its old Portuguese style churches and amusement parks. So if one has to move, if one has to go and visit many of the travel circuits or the tourist circuits that Tamil Nadu has, Chennai will be one which is offering most of the airline connections to it. More importantly, in recent times, Tamil Nadu as a state has been promoted widely for tourism. So it has been aggressive marketing strategy. The the thing that is advertised is about the temple tours at Tamil Nadu. Then further ahead, it is the festivals, the annual festivals that are taking place at Tamil Nadu, and the famous Ooty Kodaikanal circuit that we have. So apart from this, which Chennai has to offer, there is the entire feel of the metropolitan city that it is there. Next city that we have is the Mahabalipuram. No one can forget this because of the exquisite architecture, rock cut architecture that it has to offer. It is also one of the structure that is more important is the descent of the Ganga that is there. It's a huge site. It's a seaside village with a rich heritage. So when we are talking about the ancientness or the old age of this, it is said that that particular temple complex was not exactly completely built. It was built and then halfway it was abandoned. So in that particular site that we have, there are this Panch Rathas that is there. Ideally, it is said that each of these raths or each of the small temple shrines that are built are for the Pandavas that we have. But there are still debates. The Shore temple, which has exquisite architecture and rock cut themes to it, is towards the shore. That is, it is known as a shore temple right slightly. So if you can actually search for the images of this particular temple, you can see one famous architecture which always comes. It's a massive architecture. It has it has an elephant, and you can also see there are other architectures wherein descent of the Ganga river it is there. Further ahead we have the next one, that's Kanchipuram. It is famous for the silk saris. It is among the temple cities in India and is the list in the 7 holy Hindu cities of the nation. So Kanchipuram has many temples, and forming one of the main cities when we talk about a temple tour. So if you the tourists have this tourist package is known as a temple tour package, wherein Mahabalipuram and Kanchipuram would be placed. So it has a history of weaving dating back to about 400 years. So these are the silk saris. There are many people who are directly or indirectly involved in this sari making occupation. Kanchipuram silk saris are woven from silkworms bred purely on mulberry trees. Here Kanchipuram silk saris are woven using dazzling array of colorful and fine golden threads or zari into alluring patterns and depicting traditional temple motifs. So these are the Kanchipuram saris. So a visit here is definitely what the tourists do is take back the saris. Now Madurai, when we talk about it, is the famed 1000 pillared temple of that is the Meenakshi Amman temple that we have. It is very famous because of the exquisite architecture and also because of the deity. So not only for the religious traveler, but it is also there for the other tourists who would like to marvel at the architecture. So when we are talking about 1000 pillars, each of these pillars are exquisitely carved. There are dance festivals which are there. It is a temple which is which holds marriage process. Which holds marriage celebrations as well. So that's the Madurai pride that we have. Next is Ooty, or Utagamandalam is a tranquil retreat in the Nilgiri mountain. Now when we are talking about Ooty, it is the sheer nature that it has to offer. There are Nilgiri plantations, then there are forest which it has, then the tea plantations which are seen. So when you are talking about taking a tourist package, most of the ideal package would be that which has a road travel to Ooty. So what happens is it is a scenic road which you can actually see the scenery across, similar to the other hill station, that is Kodaikanal. It has scenic beauty surrounded by rocks, woods and serene lakes. So some of the famous ones are the Lamb's Rock, Doda Beta Peak, and then there are the botanical gardens of Ooty, not to be missed. It is beautiful, having lots of different kinds of trees, and many of them are as old as 100 years. So one more site at Ooty Lake will be something which attracts. There are horse ridings and the boating which is taking place at Ooty. So when we are talking about great climate, Ooty and Kodaikanal are the ones which offer you absolutely brilliant climate along with the natural views that is there. Now these are certain pictures here. We can see Mahabalipuram. These are the different shrines, and this is the Ganga descent that we are talking about. This is the Meenakshi temple. It is the photograph wherein certain festival is going on. That's the tall Gopuram of Meenakshi temple. We have the botanical garden Ooty. You can see it's quite big, and there are many acres of it. Further ahead there are hillocks in between. So the entire garden appears to be very picturesque, and it might take more than 1 hour to roam the entire garden around. So that's Tamil Nadu. After that there is one more city which is there, Kanyakumari. Now there are many myths and legends which are attached to the place, especially the name, that is Kanyakumari, which is the girl who is unmarried girl. So it is said that there are certain myths wherein we are talking about the deity of that place is located on the furthermost tip of India. Now it is supposed to be the last tip of India, but it is not so. We have Indira Point, which is supposedly the last tip, where the Bay of Bengal merges into Arabian Sea and Indian Oceans. Now what is very good about this particular place here is that you can actually see the confluence of merging of these two water bodies here. Furthermore, there are different colors of sand on the beaches nearby. So that is something which is special about this place, and then again the myths and the stories which are involved here. So the distinguishing feature of the spiritual town in the Swami Vivekananda Memorial and the towering statue of Tamil poet Thiruvalluvar, located in a rocky island off the shore. So these are the two things again worth visiting. Out of this, Swami Vivekananda Memorial is one which is prided to be the national monument of India, one of the national monuments of India. So there can be a wonderful read about how the making of this monument came by. There were many obstacles for this particular memorial, which today stands tall. So you can definitely go and see what are this particular memorials. Now, Madhumalai Wildlife Sanctuary, covering an area of 321 square kilometer, is about to 266 species of birds and many plant species. So this is one of the sanctuary that can be worth visiting too. So when we are talking about towards extreme south, this entire travel circuit would require travel of a lot of duration because of the spaces involved in between the cities. So cities are wide apart. So each of the city also has its distinct feel to it. So when we are talking about Ooty and Kodaikanal and then Chennai and Kanyakumari, they will give the tourists who are coming a diverse feel. Alright, so these are the cities, or these are the things that Tamil Nadu has to offer. Now here is the Tripura Sundari temple, which is, according to Hindu mythology, this is the myth that we are talking about, the 51 holiest Shakti pits in India. So this is said to be one wherein Mata Sati's right foot fell, right, the story about Shiva carrying the corpse of Sati. Then is Neel Mahal. It is a magnificent lake palace which was constructed as a summer resort. It has a Hindu and Mughal architecture. Then we have the Ujjwanta Palace, majestic Indo-Saracenic structure, which is also there. It is presently housing the state legislative assembly. Sipajila Wildlife Sanctuary is rich in a variety of flora and fauna. So these are further attractions that we have for Tamil Nadu. The next state that we have is Tripura. It is famous for its ecological travel packages that it has. According to the Hindu mythology, it has Tripura Sundari temple, which is one of the holiest 51 Shakti pits that we have. It is said that Mata Sati's right foot has fallen at this particular place, and hence the temple. Next that we have is the Neel Mahal, magnificent lake palace. Again, the architecture is beautifully done. It is an amalgamation of Hindu and Mughal architecture. Then what we have is the Ujjanta Palace, beautifully done architecture again in an Indo-Saracenic structure. Further ahead, it is presently occupied as the State Legislative Assembly. So this is also something which has the majestic architecture here. Next wildlife sanctuary that we have is Sipajila Wildlife Sanctuary, which is which has the bee spectacled monkey as one of the species which attract tourists. It is a sight to actually see this animal. So this is the spectacled monkey that we are talking about. It has natural designs across its eyes. That's the Ujjwanta Palace and the Tripura Sundari temple that the Tripura has to offer. So this is a state which will be there. Now the next state that we can talk about is Uttaranchal. Uttaranchal or Uttarakhand, as we know. Now the one of the oldest cities of India, that's Dehradun, is over here. It's capital of Uttaranchal and is located in the mountain ranges of the Himalayas. So it is one of the best known educational centers, and hence it is known as the Oxford of India. It is a gateway towards trekking and adventure activities, important for that. Next is the Almora has attractions like Nanda Devi Temple, Chitai Temple, etc. So when we are talking about Uttarakhand, it deals into travelers who are attracted by the natural beauty that it has been close to Himalayas. Furthermore, that will be the adventurers or trekkers. Further ahead, it will be the religious people or the religious travelers that are attracted to this particular state. So there are many temples across the state. Masuri, which is famous for its Tibetan temple, lake mist and Masuri lake. Again, this is Masuri offers great natural views, and there are many points in Masuri. The next is the holy city of Haridwar, translates to the gateway to God, so that's Hari Ka Dwar. And the breathtaking city replete with temples, it is a magnet for religious pilgrims. There are many sites. There is Hari Ki Pauri, which is here. So religious pilgrims from all over the world come here. There are many festivals and fairs with respect to religion at Haridwar. Then is Rishikesh, which is at the base of Himalayas, hold deep cultural and spiritual significance for local Hindus. So again, one of the religious sites, there are various temples. It is a gateway towards many religious fairs and festivals that are held. Further ahead, we have Corbett National Park, one of the most famous national parks that we have. It is Jim Corbett National Park. There are many wildlife species which are there in this national park. There are safaris which are taking place. So Corbett National Park is yet one of the attraction that will attract an adventure tourism. Then we have the Valley of Flowers, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is this valley which because of its specific ecology, it has in those specific months varied varieties of flora here. So there are many expeditions or many groups which go especially to see this Valley of Flowers, and hence it is said to be the UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now, these are certain pictures. This is the Har Ki Pauri that we have, one of the holiest places. This is the Valley of Flowers in its whole beauty when during the festival. It is completely covered with flowers. So if you can actually see the images, what we can see is that there are carpets of different colors flowers which are there. Now this is Rishikesh, that's the Jhula that we have, the famous bridge, and across the river. So all these sites are offered by Uttarakhand. So when we are talking about the present day, the recent things that have happened, the natural disasters which are there, it has made tourism take a back leg, but definitely there are developments which are done, there are things which are done to make sure that to bring Uttarakhand back to normal. So that's Uttarakhand. Let us move to the next state, that's Uttar Pradesh. Now when we talk about Uttar Pradesh, although Uttar Pradesh has many things to offer, what steals the show is Taj Mahal and Fatehpur Sikri and the Agra Fort. So here is the one that we are talking about, the Taj Mahal, which was built by the grief-stricken Emperor Shah Jahan in memory of his beloved wife Mumtaz Mahal. Now with many many myths and many many legends, and with many of the taglines that follow the epitome of love or whichever, apart from the myths is the sheer elegant architecture of the monument that attracts the travelers to it. So it is made of marble and it has different hues if you look at it in the evening or if you look at it in the early morning. Now that's Taj Mahal over here, which is at Agra. So being a proximity to Delhi, that's one of the gateway, it attracts many travelers. It was also voted as one of the modern seven wonders of the world, and that's Taj Mahal, wherein it is a tomb of the of wife Mumtaz Mahal. It has four minarets which are intricately carved. There are the most special architectural feature for Taj Mahal would be the dome that it has, and the entire way the that the architecture has been built, it is very well proportionate. Apart from that, there is the garden which gives you. So obviously, it is one of the most iconic structures that India has. Later on, what we had further ahead is the Agra Fort, which was the construction of which was started in 1565, when the initial structures were built by Akbar. Later on, it was finished by Shah Jahan, and these structures were more and more replaced to marble creations. So some of the structures which were originally built were Delhi Gate, Amar Singh Gate, Akbari Mahal, and Jahangiri Mahal. So inside the Agra Fort, there are many specific places. So definitely, Taj Mahal and this Agra Fort has to have a guided tour with it. So a must watch for the tourist. Now the fort is crescent shaped, flattened on the east with a long nearly straight wall facing the river. It has a total perimeter of 2.4 kilometers and enriched with double castellate ramparts. Now further what we have is Jama Masjid. Rectangular open forecourt constructed in 1648 by Jahan Jahan's daughter Jahangira Begum. Of particular importance, it is the wonderful assimilation of Iranian architecture. So all of these structures that we are talking about have a typical architecture which has arisen by a combination of the Rajasthani style plus the Mughal style, Iranian, Persian, and all of them combined together has brought out some spectacular architectural styles that India has. Next is the Fatehpur Sikri. It is the heritage city, as in it was a capital of a Mughal kingdom. One of the major architectures that Fatehpur Sikri holds is the Buland Darwaza. It is a huge gate that we can talk about. So hence it's Buland Darwaza. Then there are Diwane Khas, which is famed for its spectacular large number of pillars inside. Then there are many other structures inside the Fatehpur Sikri complex, one being the Panch Mahal, which is a structure which is made of five different floors. So if you again go ahead and see the images online of this particular architectures, you will find that it has loads of things to offer to a tourist. Next, what we have is the city of Lucknow, famed for its ancient, famed for its old kind of grace that it has to offer. Many extraordinary monuments like the Kesar Bagh Palace and the Shahid Smarakan, Juma Masjid, etc. Apart from that, there are the Chota Imam Bara and Bada Imam Bara, the puzzles which are built in such a way so as to confuse the person who is coming there. So Lucknow has something to offer. One of the landmark cities of the 6th century BC is the Ayodhya city. Then it is supposed to be the birth place of Lord Ram. So that's near the banks of Holy River. There are many, many temples in this city. So here are certain photos. The famous Taj Mahal. This is the Agra Fort. If you can see, it's red. Then Fatehpur Sikri, that's the Buland Darwaza. You can see the height by comparing it with the people who are here. Then this is the Panch Mahal structure, the five stories Mahal that we have inside Fatehpur Sikri. A miscellany of ancient structures, we are talking about Ayodhya here, that reveals the legendary tales of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism and Sikhism can be still seen in Ayodhya. Now next city, again religious, is Mathura. It is said to be the birthplace of Lord Krishna. There are again many, many myths and legends attached to this city. Plus there are many temples. So there are holy shrines and sacred kunds in and around Mathura. Then the Dudhwa National Park, which is nearer to Indo-Nepal border. It is again a tiger reserve. Next we have Allahabad, again the famous holy city, a site of Kumbh Mela. It is the meeting place of three holy rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and mythic Saraswati. So it is known for as the confluence city. It is also a site for Kumbh Mela, like I said earlier. Let us move to the next states, that's West Bengal. When we talk about West Bengal, the first thing that comes to our mind is the Kolkata and the Sundarbans. When we talk about city Kolkata, it is a beautiful amalgamation of the old city Kolkata and the modern things that Kolkata has seen. So it has, the entire state has its very typical Bengali culture, and the tourists are overwhelmed by this culture. Here Kolkata, the capital of West Bengal, has lots of historical monuments, lots of historical cultural monuments to offer. So other attractions, as it was once the capital of India under British reign. So there are many things which are attached with, to Kolkata as a city, because it was one of the main cities when we talk about the Indian history as such. So tourist attractions here would be the Victoria Memorial. This was constructed as a death memorial for Queen Victoria. It has various paintings, other galleries, exhibits. Then we have the Fort William, Birla Planetarium, Eden Garden Stadium. We have Marble Palace, then the famous Howrah Bridge, which is worth seeing for its how the structure has been made. Then we have the famous Botanical Gardens, Shahid Minar and National Library. Talking about National Library of Kolkata, it is famed as being the biggest library in India, and it is till today told that any book which is published in India has to send one copy to National Library here in Kolkata. So all this have their typical architecture. Apart from that, it is something that the place itself offers as an experience to the tourist. Next, what we have is Darjeeling. Now, Darjeeling, famous for its Darjeeling tea plantations. It has the great views, the spectacular climate that it has to offer. So, surrounded by the snow-covered Himalayan peaks, stunning natural beauty and breathtaking views. It is listed under, there is the Darjeeling Himalayan train, which is there, the toy train, 96 kilometer long, and listed under the World Heritage Site. Now, there is one of the station which is there, the Ghum station. It is supposedly the highest station of the world. And there is a very famous Bastasia loop, a great architectural feat which is observed. So there is a Bastasia loop wherein the train, if you are sitting in the train, you won't even know that the train has actually went down 1000 feet. That's a descent. And this particular loop was created so that such a descent would be possible by the train. So there was again a documentary created as to how the great engineering works of the world are constructed. And the toy train had been featured in that particular documentary. There are more attractions than Himalayan Zoological Park. We have the loop here, the Tiger Hill, Shringumari Ropeway, Lloyd's Botanical Garden, monasteries, and the world famous Darjeeling Tea Gardens. So there are spectacular views, great scenery, and road travel would give you absolutely wonderful views of the entire city. So that's Darjeeling. Next, what West Bengal has to offer is Jaldapara Wildlife Sanctuary, situated at the foothills of the eastern Himalayas, has a great variety of flora and fauna. So again, this is one of the national parks of India. The major population of one-horned rhinos is the main attraction here. It is the largest halophytic mangrove forest in the world. Now, when we are talking about biodiversity, we know that it is here that the Sundarban exist, and also this is the area where many tigers are. The population of tiger is seen. So that's the home to the Bengal tigers, and it is the largest tiger reserve in India. So when we are talking about tourist experiences, there are certain places wherein the tourist can be taken by a boat in this reserves, and from there you can view this particular mangroves. So obviously it needs to be a guided tour, and all this is not only a part of attracting the tourist, not only the main part for attracting the tourist, but also important because it forms the ecology which is present here because of the Ganga Delta. Now, one of the other attraction that we have is the Shantiniketan, which is known as the abode of peace and was second home to Rabindranath Tagore. We can see that there were many writers or poets who used to come here and research on life of Rabindranath Tagore, the great Indian poet. It's famous for its natural beauty, where one can easily find peace and relaxation. This is the town which is known as a university town, and it has a vision of Rabindranath Tagore to it. So these all things are what West Bengal has to offer. Now, when we have finished our states and the union territories, we have understood that throughout the states and throughout the union territories, India has varied variety of things to offer to a tourist. So we have the natural reserves, the natural visions or views that one can offer to the tourist. We also have great cultural heritage monuments. There are man-made amusement parks which are also present. So when we are talking about diversity of experience to the tourist, it is our plus point that one can come to India and experience all of this at a particular state or a particular place. So each state has its own special heritage, special culture, customs, food, dresses, architecture and festivals. So clearly when we are talking about culturally diverse India, at any given month, there are many different festivals which are going on together in a particular state. So there is not a single month wherein there won't be a chance for us as a country to attract the inbound tourist. The colors, the smells, the varieties of landforms, flora and fauna are so extensive and varied that the tourist will have the most memorable vacation. So this is what is our USP, and we can definitely promote it with a more aggressive Indian marketing strategies. So this is something which India should market, making it a destination not only for certain months, but for all the months or the throughout the year. So that was about Indian state tourist attractions and union territories. And this is the end for this session here. Thank you for being patient for throughout the tourist attractions. I hope the session was complete. With respect to this chapter, it would be ideal for you to actually visit all the travel official tourism websites for each of the states, because almost all of the states have their own tourism specific websites. These are the websites which offer various tour packages, how the itineraries are supposed to be, what are the main cities with respect to tourism, and the beautiful images which are there. So one can have the official facts and as well as the pictures of that particular state. So while studying this states, one can have this particular information in front of you. Thank you.